every day we see the effects of sin. There is no question when you look around you, every day you see someone's life that has been touched by sin. You see those that bodies have been ravaged by sin. You see those that have been damaged in their lives by sin. Homes that have been destroyed by sin. Marriages that have been destroyed because of sin. Young people's lives that have been destroyed. You see every day where sin is causing damage. Now you do find this though. You find less preaching today on sin than about anything. Because let's face it, most people that come to church, they don't want to come to church and hear about sin. Most folk that go to church want to come to church and we want other kind of messages. We want to leave and say, boy, wasn't that preacher funny tonight? Man, didn't you enjoy that story he told? Boy, he sure did jump around a lot tonight. And listen to me, I'm for all of that. I think you know me that well. But I want to say tonight, if we're really going to have a genuine Holy Ghost, God-sent revival, we have to deal with sin in the church. The Bible says that judgment should begin at the house of God. We got to get the church right if we're going to have revival. Now, I know what most of you are thinking. But, Brother Chris, I don't commit adultery. I'm not fornicating. I'm not smoking drugs or taking drugs. I'm not drinking alcohol. And a lot of us have got the idea that that's the only kind of sin that hinders the work of God. But, friend, that's a long way from what I believe really hinders the work of God. I grew up on a chicken farm all my life. I listen, when I was growing up as a young boy, my dad would always try to keep animals that would like to kill chickens, and one of them was a fox. He'd always try to keep them out of those chicken pens, we called them. And he put small wire around those chicken pens. And I asked my dad, why in the world do you put such small wire around those pens? And he would say, son, I'm not worried about things that are big getting in there and killing those chickens. But it's the little foxes that can get through the wire. God said it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's not the big things. Friend, I believe tonight that most of us in this building, I trust, have dealt with issues of adultery and issues of fornication and issues of alcohol and drugs. And I trust tonight that those things no longer reign in your life. I'm glad whom the Lord sets free is free indeed. I don't want to go to the bar anymore. I don't want the drugs anymore. I'm glad I got a new song. I'm glad I've got new joy. I'm glad God delivered me from those things. But in this building tonight, there is some jealousy. In this building tonight, there is some envy. In this building tonight, there is some malice, some ill will, some bitterness. And friend, God said the little foxes spoil the vine. Do you understand? It may not be the great things tonight, but yet it may be the little foxes that spoil the vine. You say, preacher, that's not me. Well, according to the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You don't have to match your life to mine. You don't have to match your life to the pastor's. But friend, we all must give an account unto God of our lives. And friend, we're going to have to give an account of sin. And what happens is people let sin reign and have dominion over their lives. You're going to sin. As long as you're in the body you're in, as long as you're in the flesh you're in, you will sin. You say, well, preacher, I don't sin. And the Bible has another name for you. It's called liar. Amen. Hey, understand tonight that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, I am glad tonight there is a part of me that cannot sin. Now, you ought to shout all the way home over that. I'm glad, thank God, there is a part of me that cannot see it. There was a day when you didn't want to go to church. There was a day when you didn't want to live for God. There was a day when you wanted to do your own thing. And then you got saved by the grace of God. And someone come on the inside and took up reins. And you got a new man on the inside. And that new man will not see it. I got a part of me on the inside that loves to do right. I got a hallelujah. Amen. I'm glad I don't do what I do today because I just want to. I do what I do today because somebody on the inside has got the reins and is leading and directing my life. But unfortunately, there is an old man. Nature that we haven't got rid of yet. Man, how sweet heaven's gonna be when that old nature's gone. Hallelujah. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. That's going to be a wonderful day. Yes, it gets better farther on, but friend, we must deal with sin now. There are some sitting in this building that can hinder revival for Morningstar Baptist Church and for your church wherever you're from because you won't deal with your sin. Now, it may get quiet a moment, but the body of Christ must not have schisms. My left arm can't go one way and my right arm go another way. And as long as you don't have things in your heart right with other children of God, you're not going to see revival. And friend, as long as there's bitterness and envy and strife and malice, you say, well, preacher, you don't understand. You don't know what somebody said. You don't know what somebody did. Friend, you can't change them, but you can sure do something about you. But if we're not careful, what we'll do is we'll let sin begin to reign and have dominion over our lives. No wonder we can't have revival. I've been in very few real revivals. Very few. I have been around it a few times, but I've been in very few. Been in some good meetings. But I'm talking about real revival. And you know why it's hard to have it? Because people don't want to hear what I'm preaching. The audacity of that man to come to my church. The audacity of that preacher. Who does he think he is coming to my church and preaching on things in my life? Well, I didn't even know there were things in your life till your face told me. I learned a long time ago, you throw a rock in a pack of dogs, only one's going to yelp is the one that gets hit. I promise you, the rest of them will just keep on running. Amen. You know what? You can walk in my pulpit, if you're a preacher, you can blast tithing to the wall. How sorry somebody is to rob God. You can tell everything in the world about tithing. I'll smile at you and amen the whole time. You know why? Because I do it. I believe in tithing. Right? I had a fellow one time tell me, and at least he did have the guts to do it. Most people don't even have the guts to do it. He was leaving the church, and at least he had the guts to come talk to me. We're not raising a whole lot of men these days. A whole lot of sissies, but not a whole lot of men. You're going to be a man, be a man. You got a problem? Sit down and talk to somebody about it and be a man. Besides weaseling out like some sissy. So at least he did come talk to me. He said, Brother Chris, he said, my family's going to be leaving the church. And I said, well, brother, I appreciate the fact that you come talk to me. And he said, preacher, I feel like I should tell you why. Now, I knew his spiritual condition. I could imagine why. But here's what he said. He said, preacher, I feel real good till I get to church. And he said, but every time I come to church, by the time I leave, I don't feel good. And he said, I think you should feel good when you leave church. So I stopped him. And I said, Brother Jimmy, can I ask you a question? He said, yes, sir. I said, why does all them other people feel good? I said, wonder why you're feeling bad, but them others are feeling good. He said, well, I don't know. I said, I know. I said, the same preaching that got you here is running you off. I said, I appreciate your honesty, but if you want to be honest, let's be honest. Hey, the same thing that got you here is running you off. Back years ago, I had another young man. He comes to him and his wife and family, they come to hear me preach often now, anytime I'm in the area. But when I was his pastor and he was growing in the Lord, son, if I ever got in his chicken coop, man, I'm telling you, it tore him up. He came to my house one day when I was leaving in Burlington back years ago, pastoring a church. He had a list about this long of things he didn't like I was preaching. He walked in my house and he looked at me and he said, Brother Chris, you didn't used to preach against that. You didn't used to stand against that, sing against that. I told him, I said, I used to drink milk all the time too. My mama fed me. But when I grew up, I started eating meat. Amen? Amen. He said, preacher, what do you think I ought to do about all that stuff? I balled it up right in front of him and threw it in the floor. I said, I think you ought to forget about all that and get right with God. Huh? You say, preacher, what did he do? I'm glad, thank God, he got right with the Lord. Hey, his problem wasn't with the preacher. His problem wasn't with the message. Friend, his problem was sin. Until you deal with it, you're going to be a miserable human being. If the preacher would stand up here tonight and say, how many wants revival? About everybody say, I know. How many wants to deal with their sin? You know why we don't want to deal with our sin? Because we know somebody else is worse than we are. Well, I might do that, but I tell you right now, I know what she does. There are folks upsetting things in church and have no idea what it is. I have never understood. And brother, what's your first name? Chad. And brother Tommy, I know. I've never understood why two people can have an issue in a church. Let's say Chad and Tommy go to church together. No, they don't. But let's say they go to church together. And one day, Chad thinks his head with no hair looks better than Tommy's head with no hair. And so they have a conflict over whose head looks better with no hair. Now, them two guys have a problem with who's got hair and who don't. But before you know it, oh, Miss Myra, she done jumped in. Well, I can't believe Chad would say something about your head. Then it won't be long. Somebody, hey, even the little smiling lady back here, brother, your wife, she lights up a choir, man. I like that smile. Sister, please don't stop smiling. It can't be you're married to him. It's got to be something better than that. It's got to be Jesus. Hey, but don't you know what? Hey, even Miss Smiley right here, Miss Smiley all of a sudden said, well, I'll tell you right now, if he don't like Chad's bald head, I don't like him. And before you know it, you got 25 people over here that don't like Brother Tommy anymore simply because Chad and Brother Tommy had a disagreement that wasn't any of their business. And now they grieve God, grieve the choir, grieve the Holy Ghost, grieve the church because they got a problem with something that ain't even about them. Oh, Lord, teenage girls. You know, Two boys can have a disagreement. And one good thing about guys, I don't like best friend stuff. Bethany, that's, you don't hear many guys say, that's my BFF right there. You just, help me, girls. Y'all laughing because you know what I'm talking about. I've got a girl be 16 next week. I know exactly what I'm talking about. She'll be here Thursday and Friday night. Hey, I'm telling you what. Hey, you get guys, you know, well, if he don't like me, I don't give a rip and like him. And we go on.
That's right. Amen.
Huh? I tell people, man, I got Jesus, my wife, daughter, my motorcycles. I don't care people. Hey, listen, liking me ain't that big a deal. I'm not in this thing so everybody pat me on the back. I'm in it for the Lord. But you get these teenage girls and they get a best friend. Oh, if everything ever happens with that best friend, oh. Y'all help me now. Anything ever happens with that best friend, well, I don't like her anymore. This don't have anything to do with her. And they'll go in the corner and you get three or four others that'll get you raising them youngins. You know, unless they're little right now, just hold on, buddy. You get three or four of them little girls and they'll get together. I don't like her. Well, why don't you like her? Because Sally don't. Now, folks, that's okay for a bunch of youngins. But I'll be totally honest with you tonight. Come here, Brother Tommy. I'll be totally honest with you tonight. Come here, Brother Tommy. This doesn't look normal. Right? That just don't look normal. Me burping, Brother Tommy, that just don't look normal. And can I tell you something? There's a whole lot of Baptist preachers that have to spend half of their ministry burping a bunch of Baptists that are all tore up and got sin in their lives that they should have let go of 100 years ago. And we want revival. I preach in about 30 revivals a year. And I'm going to be totally honest with you. Sometimes, I'm one of these people, I don't fellowship with a lot of preachers. Now, please don't take me as being, I just don't do it. Because I'll be honest with you, I fellowship with ones that enjoy the Lord, enjoy the ministry, but I can't stand to get around the crowd. And all they want to do is run somebody else down, tire somebody else. I ask them, how in the world do you expect your church to have any harmony when you can't even have any harmony with the very people God called like He called you? Sin. Amen. I'm running out of time. I ain't even got started. The danger of sin. Now, what does sin do? Why does sin damage so much? First of all, now watch. Sin separates. You will never find sin in anybody's life that doesn't separate them from something. That's good preaching, Brother Chris. Thank you. Thank you. Preach on, Brother Chris. I believe I will. Sin separates. First of all, sin will separate you from the Father. The Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Friend, if you're going to have a prayer life, if you're going to have a worship life, if you're going to be what you ought to be for God, you got to deal with the sin in your life or it's going to separate you from the Father. You don't believe that's the case? Get some sin in your life and try to pray. You can tell me all you want to tell me, but you can't have no malice against somebody else and talk to God and get through. Because God knows your heart. Huh? You can't get out at a prayer altar and try to pray. And just before you come to church, you were surfing pornography on the internet. It'll separate you. You can't get in a church service and worship God, but during the week you're fornicating. It'll separate you from the Father. Sin separates us from God. How can you come to church and worship God when you're jealous of somebody else in the building? Some folks just born not to like people. I mean, they find fault with everybody they see but themselves. You ever had any of those? God lets every preacher have a few to pastor to keep us humble. Amen. I had a preacher call me one time and said, "Brother Hayes, are you upset at me that we run buses by your church?" I said, "Lord, no, man. Next time you come by, let me know. I got three or four of my members. I'll sit out front. Pick them up." Amen. Hey, I'm telling you, sin separates us from the Father. You know why tonight you need to deal with the sin in your life? Because you want your relationship with God to be right. You understand? You say, "Well, preacher, I know somebody in the church and they do a whole lot worse." We're not talking about somebody else. Somebody else might never have revival. Somebody else might never get a hold of God. But friend, you're here tonight because you want God to do something for you. And the only way God's going to do it, you got to deal with your sin. Secondly, sin can separate you from your family. Let me say something to you tonight. You men, if you're married to a woman who loves you, you treat her with some respect, you love her like you should, and you don't flirt with nobody else. And if some harlot comes on to you, you think you leave your wife for her, if she'll come on to you while she's married and you are too, she'll do it again after it's all said and done. I'm telling you, buddy, you better stay with what God's given you and be happy and serve God. Sin destroys families. Oh, I've watched sin do it. Many a time sitting in my office, I've watched sin destroy a family. Now, I know this isn't popular preaching. Some of y'all looking at me about half head, half cocked sideways. But I'm telling you, sin will destroy a family. And I'm not just talking about a husband and wife. It'll rip your kids out from under you. We got youngins being raised all across this country with mama living in one county, daddy living in another county. We got to haul them back and forth. They start playing games trying to get something from one instead of the other. And kids grow up spoiled because we got them in situations they ought to not be in. And it's all because of sin. Sin separates us from our family. Sin will separate us from our Father. And then, unfortunately, sin will separate us from the fellowship. It'll get us out of church. Now, listen to me tonight. And I'm not, please, don't misunderstand me. I love you. I am not in any way at all trying to be mean to you. I hope you understand that. I'm just preaching Bible. And if Bible offends you, then you just need to get over it. I mean, I love you, but if you get offended because of the Word of God, you go home, take you an aspirin or something, and deal with it. Because the book, hey, they that love thy law, nothing shall offend them. He said, "Well, you're preaching that preacher because you know me." I can't even call three names in this building. I'm too depressed to know everybody in every church. I got enough myself to worry about. Amen? But I can tell you this. Every church has sin in it. Oh, including the one I pastor. Every church has sin in it. And sin separates you from fellowship. You see somebody get in sin, they'll get out of church. That's right. They'll get out of church, get away from God, get out of the fellowship. Well, we've lost a lot of good members of a church because sin began to reign or have dominion over their life. Do you know it's a sin not to be faithful? Huh? Do you know it's a sin not to tithe? Or thank you for those three yeses and one amen. Do you know it's sin to be jealous or envious or bitter? "Well, preacher, I'm not coming back to church anymore." Why not? "Well, so-and-so hurt my feelings." Preacher, what if we quit every time somebody hurt our feelings? Amen. Y'all coming back? Great. I've had people tell me before, preacher, I'm done because so and they hurt my feelings. I had somebody come up to me in my church a few months ago. They said, preacher, guess what? Did you know so-and-so said something I don't like you? And I thought, no. You mean everybody in the church don't love me? You mean there's some that don't like me? You know what I did? Went home, put my helmet on, rode my motorcycle. Went through a corner on the racetrack at 120 miles an hour, drug my knee and said, I don't care. Amen. I want people to like me, but I can't help what people get inside of me that I ain't got nothing to do with. I mean, I can't help that. I can't change that. Huh? Now, I'm going to tell you how I handle things as a pastor. Now, I'm not saying you're a pastor. This is the way I handle things. If I hear of anybody in our congregation have any problem with anybody else, I get them. And here's what I tell them. I understand, Sally, you don't like Susie. No, preacher, it ain't that I don't like her, but she just, I said, don't need to tell me. I'm going to get Susie. And me and you and Susie are going to my office. And y'all going to look at each other in your God-given eye. And we're going to get this thing right. Because either you're going to get it right or you're going to quit grieving the Holy Ghost in this church. Because when you and her got a problem, that's one thing. When you start grieving God in this church, Sally, me and you got a problem. We're not going to have you grieving God at the house of God. Boy, I'm real popular tonight. It won't be a line saying, preacher, can we take you out for supper tonight? I've been coming here long enough. You know I love you. You know I do. I'm not here to try to hurt a soul. But I know, and I'm going to say this, preacher, and take it what I'm saying right. I believe that Morningstar needs revival. I have sensed it since I've been here. Now, you listen to me. I didn't say you weren't good people. I didn't say that I have not enjoyed being here. But for some reason in my spirit, this church needs revival. I can just sense it. And I don't know much about you, but I can sense it. Hey, listen. I want you to understand. Hey, you might be in my church for a while. Say, Brother Chris, I'd be your church. And you'd probably be right. I tell our people all the time, hey, we need to get in when the water's troubled. But sin will separate us. It's good to have y'all back. Sin will separate us. Y'all wasn't smoking, were you? I love young people, man. They just look at you like, he's crazy. Amen. Sin separates us from our Father, from our family, from the fellowship. Secondly, stay with me a moment. Sin shames. You remember the woman that was caught in the act of adultery in the Bible? She was brought before the Lord and Jesus was there and they throw the woman at the feet of the Son of God. They've all got their stones. Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground. You've heard me say this before. You know exactly what he wrote. He wrote the Word of God. How do you know he wrote the Word of God? Who was he? Who was doing the writing? Whatever it was the Word of God. All I know is whatever he wrote got everybody else's attention. Can you imagine that woman when everybody's gone? She's standing there in front of the Son of God. Can you see the shame? She never denied, Brother Don, she never denied that she'd been caught. Preacher, she never denied that what she had done and the sin she had, she never denied that. And here she was, shamed. Sometimes I'm very careful to share this story. Several years ago, I had an evangelist share this with me in a church he was in. A young teenage girl had graduated high school. Her parents decided to let her go to the beach, which I just say to every mom and daddy, this will really make me popular tonight. I hope you don't think they're down there singing Amazing Grace. Well, I can trust my kid. Yeah, we got some land we want to sell you. Oceanfront in the middle of Colorado. It's not that they're not good people, but we're all flesh. Give no occasion to the devil. Now listen to me. She goes and flies to where she's going. She gets there after a few days. She meets a boy. She ends up losing her purity to that boy, spends nights with that boy, and is convinced this is the person for her life. Evangelist in the church told me the story. I won't tell you who his name was. He said that after a week of fun, this boy's leaving, the girl's flying back home. He hands her a box with a bow about the size of a ring box. And he says to her, don't open it until you get on the plane and it's going. So she did it. She sat there excited. It didn't matter. She'd lost her purity at that moment. It didn't matter to her all she'd done because she, you know, she did her own thing. It's what she wanted to do. 30,000 feet. The stewardesses hear a scream in the back of the plane. When that little girl opened that box, there was a note in it. And that note said, welcome to the world of AIDS. Evangelist stood right in front of me telling it in the church he was in. Said that boy was bitter over somebody giving it to him and all he did to that little girl was shame her. Now, I'm getting ready to say something to you, and I know this is not popular. There was a day when a young girl not married would have a baby, it would shame her family. You know what we do now? We come bebopping in the church. Look at my precious little grandbaby. And we know they had it out of marriage. Don't misunderstand me. I don't mean mistreat that child. Listen, we have a doctor and his family that joined our church or part of our church. They live in West Virginia. I'm doing a meeting for them in June. And this family... this man grew up with nothing, grew up, didn't even have water in his home and put himself through college. And now he's a major doctor in a major city and runs companies that have other doctors working for him. And he got saved 3 years ago listening to the internet. Somebody told him about a website. He was just listening to a sermon at work in the ER and he got saved. He let his wife listen to it and she got saved. They have 3 children, 2 beautiful daughters. Her oldest daughter, could be a supermodel for about any magazine in America. She is that beautiful. When she was with our family some time ago, we were down for a Christian Youth Fellowship meeting, and when she would walk into a restaurant, everybody's head would turn over the beauty of that girl. When she first came of Calvary, where I pastor, she came after they got saved. She was lost. She hated my guts. They did everything they could to get her to come. She was dating a boy that was an atheist. I'm talking about full-blown, there is no God. She's 19, he's 21. She ends up being with child. She's carrying a baby. She's 19, beautiful girl. They got her to come one Sunday morning. And that Sunday morning, I preached a message and was putting a sign around people's necks. I had 3 teenagers that were helping me, and I preached the message on do not disturb. like you'd see hanging on a door at a motel. That morning, that precious girl stepped out of that pew. She walked down the aisle. She gave her life to Christ. She got gloriously saved. Wasn't long, the baby started to show. I don't know if some of you were with us at CYF when she came up front with me or not, but the baby started to show. Later on, she has the child. She's saved now. The relationship with the atheist individual, she ended. She just said, there's no way, this was a mistake, no way I can raise this baby in a home where someone doesn't believe in God. His parents still have something to do with the baby, and she likes that because she didn't want to just completely cut them out of its life. They're not atheists. We were in a Christian Youth Fellowship meeting. There's young people all over the building. Preacher, she looked at me and she said, preacher, I wish someday there was something I could do for Jesus. I realize my life's such a mess. 800 to 1,000 young people sitting in a service one night. To end of the message, God really deals with me. And I called that young girl up front. And she walks up front, and she and I together begin to share her testimony. I'm talking about a girl that radiates beauty, and here's what she said. She said, preacher, I'm so shamed in my life, I don't know if anybody would ever want me. And I feel so alone. She stood in the front with her head bowed, gave her testimony of what God had done in her life. Now please don't misunderstand me. I love her family. She got saved under my ministry. As far as she's concerned, I'm her hero. She always is wondering how I'm doing, wanting us to send tapes, and loves my wife and daughter, and she's doing so good. But she said, preacher, the shame of what I did, I'll never get over. She said, preacher, I will never get over the shame. Sin shames. I want to give you a final thing, and I'm done. Sin sickens. Preacher, I was preaching in a meeting 2 weeks ago, Thursday night, in a Jubilee. The preacher that preached in front of me walked up, his eye was black. He'd lost about 40 pounds. He looked extremely feeble. He's a good friend. I know him very well. And he couldn't hardly get up on the platform. He walked up and he began to tell the folks, and he could tell people was looking at him, knew he was sickly looking. And he said, folks, look, don't feel sorry for me. He said, the reason I'm the way I am tonight is my liver's dying, is quitting. He said, I don't know how long I'll live. But he said, it's not God's fault. He said, when I got saved, I was a heroin addict. He said, I was on crack cocaine, heroin, and liquor. And he said, it destroyed my body. He said, God saved my soul. But he said, sin destroyed my body. He's a great man of God. And I pray that God will have mercy and touch him. Friend, I'm telling you, I have seen sin damage so many people. You may say, preacher, I'm not having a child out of wedlock. I'm not committing fornication. I'm not shooting heroin. Preacher, I can't believe you're preaching this night. I'm not doing those things. I'm not a drunk. Skip, let me ask you something. Is there anywhere in the Bible where God puts sin in categories? It's the little foxes. You want revival? Deal with the little foxes. Now let me say this and I'm finished preaching. God, if you're lost tonight, doesn't save you from what you've done. A lot of people got the idea, well, I've done this, I've done that, I've done this, I've done that, I've done this, so I need to get saved. No, no, no. God doesn't save you from what you've done. He saves you from what you are. All have sinned. You go to hell, it won't be God's fault. Because on the cross, He became sin for us. He took my sin so I could go to heaven. Now I'm done. And I know this is not popular preaching. But I want you to listen to me. If there's sin in your life tonight, you can either deal with it now or deal with it later. But be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Teenager, mama might not know. Daddy may not know. Pastor may not know. But there is a God that knows. I don't have time tonight. I've exhausted all my time. But I wished I could tell you when I had somebody to stab me in my back, the worst I had ever been stuck. Resigned my church after 14 years because God said I'm done. I'd been gone 3 months and a lady in that church, because of some kind of bitterness, started a rumor about my family. There are a lot of things you can mess with in my life, but you better leave my family alone. The rumor was so detrimental to me that I got infuriated. I'm talking about literally, no bones about it, mad. I mean mad. To the point I had somebody with me a couple days so I wouldn't drive an hour and a half to where she lived. I wouldn't have touched her, but I'd have slapped her husband for marrying her. I was that mad. Say, preacher, that ain't right. I didn't say it was right. I didn't do anything to her. I had been her pastor. I had done nothing but been good to that family. I'm telling you, I'm talking about good. Preacher, I was preaching in a revival meeting in Lexington, North Carolina. I'm the second preacher preaching. The first guy gets up. Of all messages, you know what he preached? A message on forgiveness. I'm sitting on the pew, the second preacher to preach. This guy's preaching on forgiveness to the point that it's like God speaking. By the end of the service, I crawled to the altar. Wait a minute, Brother Chris. You never did anything to her. No, I didn't. But until I let go of it, it was killing me. God's got a sense of humor. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. God, real quietly, listen to me. God's got a sense of humor. Someone dies in that church, so I drive an hour and a half to the funeral home. By this time, the lady that has said those things knows that I know. And she knows me. God's got a sense of humor. I walk in the funeral home. Guess who the first person from that church to come through the door to visit that family was? Her. Guess who the first person she saw was? Me. I'm not exaggerating to you. She turned as white as Casper the ghost. She thought, man, there's going to be a major confrontation in this funeral home. I stuck my hand out to her. I said, sister, it's great to see you. Hope things are going well. We've been praying for you. And I went on. When they resuscitated her, she was literally shocked. You say, preacher, what do you mean? You didn't do anything. No. But if I didn't take care of it, it was going to destroy me. So you got to throw it out and let it go. Now, I have no idea why the Holy Ghost, while I was praying, I prayed before I met with the men. I have no idea why God brought this message on my heart. But some of you in this building do. And it may be the little foxes that you got to get rid of tonight so we can have revival. Well, preacher, I don't want everybody in this church to think that I do something wrong. Don't worry about everybody else. It doesn't matter what they think. You can't have a touch of God on you unless you come clean with Him. I can't even preach when I'm mad at my wife. Even though it's her fault. Would you bow your heads with me a moment? I want you to be very quiet with me just a moment. I need my piano player, sister. And by the way, we've been praying for you. Amen. I've been asking folks to pray for you. I certainly have. That God would touch you. With our heads bowed tonight, I want you, sister, could you play Just As I Am for me? You know that song? Thank you. With our heads bowed tonight all across this auditorium, there's already folks beginning to come, and I'm very sensitive to the fact that this message is not one easy to swallow. But I'm telling you tonight, we got to deal with sin. We have to. We got to throw it out and let it go if we're going to see revival. Don't worry about the tears. One of the greatest things in this world is when God breaks your heart over sin. It might be a little fox, but it may be big to you. I guess what we got is the Holy Ghost giving invitations. I'm just going to wait on Him. Do we want revival, Morning Star? Do you want God to stir you and revive you? Put fire back in you for the Lord. And let God deal with sin. Who else needs to come? Just slip out. Preacher, there's something I need to deal with tonight. Just come on. Listen, you will have to deal with it, whether it's tonight or whether it's the Bema seat. I'd rather deal with it on this side of eternity. than have to deal with it before my Jesus. And please, tonight, don't you think for a minute that I'm some arrogant preacher standing up here and I'm preaching like I've never sinned. Don't you ever believe that. I failed God so many times. I don't even know why God would use me. But I try my best to be real with Him. When I fail Him, I tell Him I'm sorry. When I fail Him, I tell Him I love Him and I'll do better. And I'm glad God doesn't throw the clay away. I know I'm taking more time tonight. I know the service is longer, but I'm telling you, God's speaking. God's speaking. Worst thing my daddy could ever do when I was growing up as a boy wasn't to spank me or whoop me with a belt. But my daddy looked at me one time and he said, "Son, I sure am disappointed in you." I said, "Daddy, I'd rather you say anything. Daddy, I'd rather you take a belt to me than say you're disappointed." Let's don't disappoint God. Let's don't disappoint God. First John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all. I've seen ladies that have been through bitter divorces and men that have been through bitter divorces and held bitterness against somebody else for years have to let it go. We have to deal with sin. Preacher, it breaks my heart to fail God. And there's been many a time in my life, Brother Don, many a time. I'd go to bed at night and say, "God's me again. God, you know, I promised you that I'd get rid of that, or I wouldn't do that anymore, or I wouldn't say that or think that. God, I did it again." You know what I found out? Boy, He sure is long-suffering. I'm so glad tonight He doesn't throw the clay away. I hope tonight the message has helped you, challenged you. If you can't pray for anybody else that sin wouldn't destroy their life, you pray for me. I've got a precious family and a good church and a good ministry. You pray God to keep the devil from putting things in my path. Because no one in this building, no one is without falling. No one. Preacher, you come. We're going to have revival before this week's out. I wouldn't want to miss it because I'm telling you, one night God's going to drop her in here and we're going to have church. But we got to get there first. We got to get there. Preacher.
I think God dropped some things in here on us tonight. My greatest fear is failing God.
Mine too.
And that's my greatest fear. I think as we close tonight, it's as we started, where He said, if my people which are called by my name mm-hmm. shall humble themselves, well, sin will keep you from doing that.
It will.
Sin will make you stiff and hard and rebellious against God and
it will.
Set you in a way that you say, I'm not going to do anything with that. Pride. Pride. If my people which are called by my name, again, that's that third class condition. Maybe you will, maybe you won't. There's some here have, and there's some that hasn't. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, forsake their wicked way, then will I hear from heaven. God said, I'll forgive your sin, I'll heal your land. Revival is healing. Yes, sir. Revival's healing. I'll tell you, revival will fix a lot of stuff in our lives. Yes, sir. Revival will fix a lot of stuff in other people's lives. Yes, it will. And we need revival. Preacher, you're right. We need revival at Morningstar Baptist Church. I wish we were in the very midst of revival on the mountaintop, but we're not. We're dry. We're cold. We're indifferent. Sin in the camp. People, you know, sometimes it seems like we're just butting our heads against the wall. This is a good church.
Yes, sir.
Got good people here.
Yes, sir.
But I tell you, good people need revival.
Yes, sir.
I stand before you tonight. I try to walk uprightly before the Lord. I try to be a man of integrity, a man that loves God and loves this Bible, and try to walk before the Lord. But I feel there's such a need in my life. There's something in my life that's missing. And I'm looking for God to, whatever's missing there this week, to fill that place up.